was having a conversation with somebody this week. This is just a little side note before we get into our thing. And I was talking to this person, and they were frustrated. And I said to them, you know, sometimes it's not always good to tell somebody always what you think about them, especially if it's your boss. And I said, because you don't want to be the sand in the spinach. Imagine, who's eaten a spinach and then there was just a sand in there. Oh. So that's how it feels like for bosses, when their staff come and just talk to them that there's something wrong with you. You'll be the sand in the spinach. But we don't want to be the sand in the spinach. We just want to be... Yes. We just want to be the spinach because it's nice and it's vibrant and it gives you iron. Maybe there's a bit of protein in there, I don't know. But yeah. So, last week or 2 weeks ago, Pastor Nami started on, we started this series called Fresh. And then she spoke on a fresh word from the Lord. The guy at the temple, beautiful, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. That God has a fresh word for us, which is more than what we're expecting. And last week we talked about if we're going to, success is not guaranteed unless we do a few things. You know, unless we, I'm even forgetting myself. But success is not guaranteed in our lives. There are certain things that we have to do. You know, because Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly and all of that. So we're saying you have to watch the path. You have to choose the right way to walk. And secondly, you have to make sure that the associations that you have around you are associations that are going to move you forward in the things of God. Because it's quite important that what I consume, after a while, I start to believe. And if that is taking me off the tangent away from God, then that's not good for me. So if success is not guaranteed unless we choose the right path. And secondly, until we become very deliberate about choosing our associations, where we stand, where we walk, stand, and sit. Very, very vital. And so carrying on with the theme of this whole thing about being fresh, we're just going to bring some encouragement that I believe is really just going to hopefully shift your relationship with God. In the book of Joshua chapter 1, it says from verse 1 to 9, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot would tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. So there's about three times that the Lord has insisted, be strong and of good courage. Be strong, only be strong and very courageous. And then he says again, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We quickly go to Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord God, that you have a promise for us, that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And you have a promise for us, Lord God, that we would prosper and would have success in the assignment that you have given us. And so, Lord, we pray this morning as we open up your word, Father, that you would reinvigorate us. Lord God, you would come and encourage us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So these scriptures are not just a call to leadership and to success, but they're a call to greater levels of intimacy and relationship with God. So on the outset, as we begin to look at them, it's giving us a blueprint that if you, Joshua, you've got a big job ahead of you, but if you want to do well, these are the things that you need to do. Then, of course, he gives us that in the book of Psalm. They tell us again that follow this path and then you will have success. I don't necessarily think that when we have a good deep dive into these scriptures, God is calling us to a deeper place of intimacy and relationship with him. Because what he's saying is that all this other stuff, which I want you to have, is peripheral to my relationship with you. And so, sometimes we may desire, there's certain things that we desire in our lives. I want more of this. I want more of, you know, I want to be healthy. So I got to go to the gym. And so perhaps my issue is that when I weigh myself on the 1st of January, I'm X amount of kilograms. And so I'm hoping that by the time I get to the 31st of December, I am less a certain amount of kilograms. The problem that I have as I go through, especially during the winter months, is when the alarm goes off, I have to make a decision. Should I or shouldn't I get up? And so what I come to find is that I have a price problem. The rich young ruler, when he came to the Lord in Mark chapter 17, he says, as Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down and asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus said, only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your mother and father. Teacher, the man replied, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. There is still one thing you haven't done, he told him. Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And then it says, at this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Specifically to this guy, and specific to this guy alone, was the issue is that if you want to follow me, there is certain things that you need to do. He was not willing to pay the price. Now, there were many rich people in those days, and I bet you there were men, there were women that would help assist Christ in his ministry that were rich, that were well off, and they would easily give to the Lord because their possessions did not possess them. They didn't have a price problem. This guy did. Just like I have a price problem when the alarm goes off, I want to look good. I want to feel good. And most importantly, I don't want to take pills. In as much as pills are beneficial, I mean, come on, you know? I don't want to take them. I want to continue to be forever young. But the issue is that I have a price problem. So wanting to go deeper with my relationship with the Lord, oh, Lord, I really want to get to know you more. I want to go deeper. And yes, I'm hyped up, God. I'm hyped up to sort of like know you more and just be really close and intimate with you. The issue is that if you're going to know God, number one, you have to spend some time in the scripture and set aside some time. Regardless of the amount of time, you have to set aside. And so that was an issue for me, the devotion in the morning or whenever you have your devotions. That was, oh, Lord, I really want to be close to you, but I really don't want to spend that much time with you. Because I have a problem. As soon as I wake up in the morning, my mind is racing. I'm already thinking that, okay, I've got to do this, I got to do that, I got to go here, I got to go there, and also, what am I going to eat? I gotta make my smoothie in the morning, whatever it is. So my issue was always a price problem. Am I willing to pay the price for what it is that I want? And so probably in Port Hedland, Pastor David brought over Andrew Kubala. And Andrew Kubala came and we were having... some of the leaders there were having dinner because Pastor David was really good at cooking pizza. He built his own pizza oven, and so he used that as a vehicle to just minister to not just the leaders in his church and the people in his church, but to people from outside the community. He would invite them over for these very beautiful pizzas. So we're having a discussion with Andrew Kubala, and so, you know, I've always got questions in my quiver. I've always got questions ready to go. And so I said, look, you know, Andrew, you do an absolutely great job. You know, when he's always on stage, he's always on point. He's speaking, prophesying, saying things over people. Like, oh, I want that. I want to be able to do that. So I'm asking, what are the keys that will allow me to do that? And I said, how do you maintain or sustain your ministry? Now, I thought that he was going to say, look, you probably just have to read 10 verses or 10 chapters a day or stuff like that. Or whatever it may be. But he said, are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to pay? He says, you always have to pay the price. And that has never left me, that price problem. That I have got a problem with paying the price. So we see from this chapter in Joshua that, yes, it's talking about him being appointed in his role to lead the children of Israel to the promised land, to where they were going, and the destiny that God had for them, and his assignment that was assigned to Joshua. That was Joshua's assignment to go lead the people. But God was saying that all of that, yes, you're going to be successful. However, the blueprint for your success is tied to your level of intimacy with me and to get to know me through my word. And there are things called bids for affection. Bids for affection is where, for example, you got a child, they come up and they say, hi, dad, da-da-da-da-da, and they just want to hang around you. And that's the time when you're supposed to sort of like come embrace them. Hello, how are you? They're just trying to sort of like, you know, get your attention so you can give them some attention. Now, I have the habit when, you know, my kids want to, you know, come into perhaps the bedroom and, you know, I'm just lounging in there and they want to come in to do nothing. They're just coming there. They're just coming there to do what? To just be with me. Now, and I'm like, ah. So they come in, and I'm like, yeah, what do you want? You know, what do you want? And And then after that, and my son is good at this, he just comes in, and then he says, just coming for nothing, and then he leaves and goes out. That's a bid for affection. I would like to tell you that I always, hey, come, what's happening? How's your date? In my mind, I'm like, you're wasting my time. You know? You see, a call to deeper is not some compliance program born out of a selfish desire to tick the box and say, Lord, I've spent my 10, 15 minutes, hour with you, boom, I'm done for the day. It is actually God who begins the pursuit for us. A challenge, if you will, of getting closer to him, of a more intimate relationship with him. And it starts with his word, because that's all we could see in Joshua. That's all we can see in Psalm, that it starts with us desiring to spend time with God in his word, getting to know him through his word. You know, John and Paula Sanford emphasize this point in their book, The Elijah Task. They say, our faith rests upon revelation. Christians believe that the Bible contains God's moral law. Prophets must stand firmly on that belief, because all our power of intercession, our authority to forgive, and our ability to understand God's will among men is rooted there and nowhere else. Everything starts with our delight in the Word of God. That is where it all goes. And that scripture, even in Joshua and in Psalm, it says, and in his law, he meditates day and night, which suggests all the time he's meditating on the word of God. He's thinking about it. He's pondering it. He's filling it up. You know, you don't just hear the word and forget it. You're constantly, it's always on your mind. You know, that word of God that you're just mulling over and letting it work within you. In Eastern meditation, the goal is to empty your mind. But in Christian meditation, the goal is to fill our mind with the word of God. And because we are carefully thinking about each word and every phrase and applying it to ourselves and praying it back to God. That is why when you get those scriptures, you know, you look at a scripture and then you convert it into, you put your own name there and you start praying that out over your life. And that is what we have to have, this delight for the word of God. And the reason why there is delight and why it makes somebody so happy is that it fulfills the purpose for which you were created. Because God's command for all of us is to be fruitful. And so it then describes in Psalm 1 the happy man as a man being like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his season, his fruit in his season. The leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. We're talking here about assignment. Everybody has an assignment. And the success we're looking for here, we don't want to just relate that to stocks and bonds. We're relating it to your assignment that God has for you. That Joshua, if you're going to fulfill the assignment for your life, it is centered around the word of God. Because it says, let this word, you meditate on it day and night, then, so that's the condition, then you'll have success, then you'll be prosperous. So it's a conditional thing, that the delight that we have in the word of God is the most important thing, that we're all being called to get into deeper places of intimacy with the Lord. Fruit bearing is the result of deep roots finding abundant supply of nourishment from the underground streams of water. And so God's word is an all-sufficient, eternal supply of empowering grace for our life, even during difficult, seemingly barren times. We can always turn to the word of God, because it will sustain us. Whatever we are doing in our lives, I cannot emphasize the importance of the Word of God. And so this is a promise from God and a well-established fact of life. So this being like a tree teaches us a tree has deep roots and is usually very sturdy, especially when compared to weeds or tumbleweed. So a tree portrays stability and the capacity to withstand the storms of life. It's the picture of mental, emotional, and spiritual stability in every kind of situation. This is why everybody loves to go to King's Park. If there were no trees at King's Park, I tell you, not many people would go there. Because there is something that when you see a tree, it represents, in a big, tall tree, a strong one, it has weathered the storms of life. Its roots possibly go down very deep. And it's nice to be around, you know, nice, whether it's a fruit tree or whether it's a shade tree. A tree also is a concept of growth and time, because it takes time to produce a very big tree. Those trees just weren't planted yesterday, and then boom, they've grown up. It takes time. And sometimes because we are so geared in our minds to, we want things now, that we can easily lose the concept and, of course, the overnight transformation, like I desire. That I just want to go from 118 kgs to 90. I don't want to do the work. I just want to get there. Unfortunately, you see, true spiritual strength comes from a long-term established relationship with God in His Word. There are some guys that you'd see, and not to sort of like put him on the spot, there are some guys you see that, you know, you see Charlie, Pastor Charlie, you see him and you think, oh my, he's weathered some storms. But guess what? Over time, they've stood. And so you begin to see the fruit of his relationship with the Lord over time. Because you sort of like notice that after a while, wow, they're still standing. That tree, after all the storms that have come over Perth, they're still standing. There is something magnificent about them. And I talked to a lot of people, and I was saying to somebody else that when we go to see athletes, what we're actually paying for is their price of discipline. That's what we're paying for, that they were willing to pay the price. And so we marvel, yes, at their feats, but it's really at the discipline that they have shown over whatever length of time. The tree is also a picture of ministry. If a tree is a fruit tree, it gives fruit. If it's a shade tree, like an oak or an evergreen thing, it gives shade. God has given us His Word that we might become fruitful trees in His service and His ministry to others, so that other people can come and partake of the discipline that you've had over the years. And so that generates fruit in your lives. But also the comfort, the shade is the comfort of just your relationship with God over time. That people, God is just, because God has called each and every one of us, our lives become a place where we come to have shelter. And as I was thinking about this, I remember at the beginning of the year, I showed a picture of a park, and there were these birds on it. And the birds were obviously there looking for worms and beetles, whatever they, you know, and all that kind of stuff that birds eat. But I said that if somebody didn't plant or didn't make sure that ground was there, the birds would never come. So all of us are called to have ministry in our lives that people can come and take cover because of us. Regardless of your age, you could be young, There are friends around you who God is doing something, and you are the tree that is going to provide shade and ministry to them. Amen? In Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, it says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." This is a scripture that I often pray. You know, sometimes you have to be selfish with your own prayers. It's good to pray for others, but it's also good to pray for yourself. I've got this prayer app called Echo, and I've got a whole list of prayers in there. And so one of them is, it says, "Pray for Stephen." And so that's what I pray for myself. And one of the script is, this is the scripture. And then I say, "Lord, I prepare my heart to seek the law and to do it, and then to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." And so my desire throughout everything that I do in my life is to learn, is to live, and then to lead. Learn it, live it, and then lead. For this speaks of, you know, of seeking the law of the Lord. It speaks of surrender, of obedience, of dying to self. And dying to self, to be honest, no matter what they say, is the most difficult thing that perhaps all of us can do. We are called to be, we are not dead sacrifices, we are living sacrifices. And the thing about a living sacrifice is that it can do what? It can get off the altar at any time. It makes the church say, "Ooh, this is a bit too hard," and it steps off. That's a living sacrifice. Means I constantly have to make a choice to remain on the altar. God is calling us to deeper with Him. And so how do we remain connected with the source? It says that, and I'll just get the team to come back up, its leaf will not wither. This is a picture of vitality, of being green. A plant which is planted by streams of water has the capacity to endure. And it is the principle of living life independently of the details of life for one's happiness. That is why in Philippians 4, Paul would say, "I abound when things are going good. You know, I've had difficult times and I have tough times." But in all of that, you are able to maintain a healthy perspective about life. And that's when he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, make your request known unto the Lord, and the peace of God that, you know, would come over you." And it says, being connected to the source, whatever he does prospers. And I'm talking here about the prosperity, the prospering I'm talking here, being to succeed, is to accomplish what is intended, your assignment for your life, not somebody else's life, but your own life. And so real prosperity results from the work of God in the life of the one who meditates on His word. Prosper first because we always seek to operate in the framework of God's will according to God's values and purposes. So we can stay connected to the source. The only way we know how is to grow deep in the well of God's word, because that is what will sustain us throughout our lives. I'll just get everybody to stand. Thank you. starts off as a calling for us to grow deeper in our relationship with the Lord. I sense that some of you may have woken up in the middle of the night and you're like, whoop, why am I awake? But perhaps it's the Lord that's nudging you to say, I just want accident. And so whatever has happened before you've arrived today, hear this. You put your name where Paul's is and you say, Steve, chosen by the will of God, not by accident, but by his choice, to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, to be a sent one, for a specific mission. Christ Jesus, which is the anointed one, the Messiah. That has got to change the way that we view ourselves. And the way we view that, you know, how is it going to change the way that I think about the role that I play? Whether I'm a teacher, whether I'm in politics, whether I'm an actor, a student, a stay-at-home mom, stay-at-home dad. Just to know that I have been specifically chosen by God, that should just change the way that I relate to Him. Father, I thank you this morning that, Lord, we have been chosen by the will of God for a specific purpose and a mission, that we all have an assignment. We are all sent out. Father, we are the ones that are called to minister in the marketplace, in the school grounds, politics, wherever it may be, with God. That you are planting each and every one of us as trees. That you are calling us to a deeper, more intimate relationship with you. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that, Lord, we would heed the call to be more intimate with you. We're just going to worship.